bigger buttons.
I think so.
Does it go?
Yeah, I want to get something. Okay.
Good afternoon. Please continue finishing your meal while we do some brief introductory remarks. My name is Carl Ertl. I'm chairman of the First Friday Club, and I welcome you on behalf of the entire board. Welcome to Tangiers for today's program. Our topic today is a very special one with our great friend and colleague in Catholic education, Mr. Tom Carone, the president of St. Vincent St. Mary, coming to join us as our speaker. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. On your tables, you will find white cards on which you can write down questions for Tom so that he can look at them and address them as appropriate following the talk. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect those cards and then have a question and answer session. At this time now, it is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Bernie Rochford, also of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, a board member, who will be our MC for the day. Bernie?
Thank you, Carl. This is going to be a little off of what we normally do because we try to involve all the different schools. And since Tom was, born and raised at St. Vincent's grade school and high school, it's going to be a little heavily weighted on St. V, as noticed by my tie. Today, for the opening prayer, we have Tom's daughter, Nicole Carone, who will come up and lead us in the opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for all you have done. Be with us daily, Lord. Guide us and protect us as we remove obstacles in our way. Lead us all along the plain path of righteousness. Heavenly Father, bless us with your divine favor and mercy. Give us strength to persevere and overcome the obstacles in our lives, whether it is of you to make us stronger or of the evil one who tries to knock us down. Despite it all, Satan's evil works will not prevail, for the battle is already won, and we shall overcome, just as you overcame the world. Lord, draw us near in these treacherous times. We confess that we need you at this very moment, and we cannot gain victory without you. Remove every obstacle that prevents us from getting closer to you, our merciful Savior. Remove them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. Today, I'd like to ask Ted Walter and Tom to come up. Ted Walter is going to introduce Tom. Ted has been a lifelong friend since kindergarten, and someone who knows Tom very well. And we thought that would be appropriate to have Ted introduce.
Well, this is always a dangerous time because Tom's already informed me I have 2 minutes for his introduction and he has 45 minutes if I get into too many stories. So before I start, we'll start with the highlights, really, and the highlights for Tom really is his lovely wife, Darla, and his two children, Nicole and Heather, and certainly that's the highlights and, stories about Tom and how he had to come back from a trip to New Orleans, our senior class trip, early because he had to go to this wedding where there's a special person who was in the wedding party who he had to be there for, and I think that's the rest is history. I think if you look at Tom and his years, they mentioned he was a St. Vincent grade school person. Grew up initially on North Street and moved over to Hillsdale. Sometime shortly after that, his dad, Nick, passed away unexpectedly. And Tom really became the man of the family at an early age. And, a hard worker that he is, he's out delivering papers, working hard. And certainly he had a couple Italian uncles who were in the contracting business, the paving business. And so, they and cousins, and they had him out working hard and early on. You know, as Tom graduated from St. Vincent St. Mary, you know, he was our kicker, and I think it was only because his mom had taken him to a doctor and told, somehow he had only one kidney, but somehow miraculously after, you know, 20 years later he went to the doctor. This is when he was an adult and found out he really didn't have any problems with the kidneys at all. I think it was his mom just didn't want him to play football. But Tom found a way to get on the field and was our kicker, and you know, he got married a couple of years out of high school to Darla, and you know, he worked at Morgan Adhesives running a coating line at the time. He was doing his accounting work at the University of Akron. You know, graduated from the University of Akron. And worked, moved from the plant of this large company to the inside accounting office. And when they needed somebody to when they were opening a major plant in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they needed somebody who had a good understanding of both operations and the accounting world and could interact with clients, they tapped Tom, and Tom got the okay from his lovely wife to move the family out to Las Vegas, and you know, of course, well, my brother and I had to visit him a couple times, but you know, he stayed out there, and as Tom, you know, always had a sense of balance. He understood that if he was you know, really wanted to give his kids the best opportunity for success, the best opportunity for success was really to come back to Akron. Come back to go to St. Vincent Grade School, and then on to St. Vincent High School, St. Vincent St. Mary High School. And I think, you know, really what that speaks to is the importance of family values and the values that Tom has. And I think as he got back to town and worked in the capacity of a CFO for a number of companies, and then got the tap on the shoulder from some folks who knew his skills and his ability, we've been very fortunate at St. Vincent St. Mary High School to have a leader of his caliber, someone who cares, someone who has faith, and someone who has the leadership and mentoring ability for our young men and women. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my good friend and leader, Tom Corone.
Thanks, Ted. Well, I can't tell you what I was going to tell you about Ted, because that was pretty nice. Thanks, Ted. But I will, real quick here, I have to take something off my bucket list. Ted Walter introduced me at a major event. Good. It's taken care of. Again, thank you for being here today. First Friday Club, thank you for giving me this opportunity. And really, how this really came to be is, again, at St. Vincent St. Mary, and again, this is not, I'm not here to talk about St. Vincent St. Mary, see, no green tie, nothing. But there's a Kairos program that our kids go on three times a year. And a few years ago, the topic was how faith helps you overcome life's obstacles. I always go out to visit students, and 3 years ago, they said, Tom, would you like to say a few words about the topic? And I mean, no presentation was put together. I just grabbed the mic. He said, take 20 or 25 minutes. And an hour and 35 minutes later, he said, because you really don't realize about the topic until you have a chance to talk about it. But see, I believe, and this is truly, I call Tom Coroneism. I didn't read this. It's not been proven. But faith and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that should be in our lives every day. I always say, you know, people call on people when they need something. Well, to me, if you call someone only when you need something, they're not truly your friend. They're an acquaintance. I call on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. And what I mean by that, I pray every morning driving to work. And the things I pray for really come down to three basics. And if you live your life by this, I believe you're successful. And it's faith, family, and friends. Without one, I don't believe you can have either one or the other two. My journey started May 8th, 1959, the day I was born. I was born premature. I heard I was a six-month baby. I heard I was a seven-month baby. I really don't know. But what I do remember is my mom and dad telling me the story that back then, obviously, medicine wasn't as good as it is today. And the doctors explained to my father, "You're having a son, but I can't tell you he's going to survive." Pretty devastating. Well, the doctor came out and said, "I don't know what to tell you. This kid's going to make it." So I take every day of my life as a gift. Every day. I was blessed with two of the most amazing parents a person can have because of their faith. My dad worked like you can't believe. He worked two jobs every day. He worked from 7 to 3 and he worked from 4 to midnight. I don't know how he did it. He did that to take care of his family. Now, were we rich and famous and all the good? No. No, but see, I learned at an early age, and it's interesting because about a year ago, one of the students walked in my office to ask me for some advice, a situation. And he said, "Mr. Cron, I want to be rich like you someday." And I said, "Well, define being rich so I understand what you're saying. Because if you're saying, I want to have a lot of money, live in a big house, drive a fancy car, that's not my definition of being rich. My definition of rich is having faith, family, and friends. And as far as I know, I'm the wealthiest man in the world." So the story goes on, and as Ted alluded to earlier, I'll talk about sometime, but I'm going to get through this. But June 8, 1971 was the last day of school in sixth grade, and man, was I excited like every sixth grader. School's over for the summer. And I can remember hearing my mom screaming my dad's name. I thought to myself for a minute, wow, mom and dad, they truly love each other. So they don't argue a lot, but I wonder what dad did now. So I go flying down the steps, only to find my father on the kitchen floor, dead of a heart attack. Again, I'm 12 years old, and I'm saying to myself, now what? What do I do? I'm a 12-year-old boy, and my role model's gone. I turned to God. And back then, as a child, I'll admit, I was one of those people that turned to God when I needed something. Reminds me of a story you might have heard. Young man gets out of college. He goes for an interview with a major corporation. He's running late. He's going through the parking lot. There's no place to park. Now, he wasn't a real Christian, to be honest. He said, "God, please help me find a parking spot. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll quit drinking. I'll be the most amazing person on earth." He goes around the corner, and there's an empty spot. He pulls in and goes, "Never mind, God, I found one of my own." And if you really think about it, I'm not saying most people in this room, but I think many people turn to God when they need something. From that day on is probably when I started praying every day. Because God got me through that most difficult time of my life. You see, I obviously, my mom and dad were amazing people. My dad, and I don't know why, because I was only 12, he didn't have those discussions. But God bless him, he didn't believe in life insurance. Again, I don't know why. I think times were different back then, and to be honest, you probably couldn't afford it. And I can remember my mother sitting in the dining room the day after the funeral, crying. I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" I understand, we had just bought a house exactly 2 years prior to the day my father died. June 8, 1969, we moved in. June 8, 1971, we passed away. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" She goes, "We have to move. I cannot afford this house. Your dad didn't have life insurance." I said, "Well, how much is the mortgage?" It's going to sound funny. Back then it was a lot of money. $147. I said, "Wow, she could have said $1 million. I'm 12 years old. Where am I going to come up with $147 a month?" Well, I had one paper out. I turned that to three. And as Ted said, I'm going to tell you, so you either had asphalt or concrete in your blood. And God bless my Uncle Joe. What a wonderful man. He basically became my father. And at the age of 12, that summer, he said, "Just come on out and work with the crew." He said, "Now sweep the sidewalks, and if you see anybody come up on the job and hold your clipboard, they're probably with you, and you go hide. Because you're not old enough to work." And I can remember getting my first paycheck. It was $53. Folks, I thought I was the richest 12-year-old man alive. But that $53 a week plus my three paper routes helped my mother make that mortgage. And we were able to live there for many years to come. So we moved forward, and it comes time for high school. And again, God bless Mom. As you can tell, runs in the family. Very emotional person. My mother worked at St. Vincent Grade School cafeteria. An amazing cook. And the women that worked with her, they became my second, third, and fourth moms. They looked after you. But anyhow, I remember Mom crying again. I said, "Mom, what is wrong now?" With tears running down her cheeks, she said, "Tommy, I can't send you to St. Vincent, St. Mary. We just don't have the money for that." Well, now I'm working at two pizza shops, too. I'm going to St. Vincent, St. Mary. And I would save my money all summer, help Mom with the mortgage. A little red box I kept in my bedroom, put the cash in there. First day of school, I was so proud to walk up to admissions. Again, you're going to laugh. Here's my $600. That's what tuition was. Now, see, I totally believe that God puts people in your life for a reason. You just have to be aware enough to appreciate that. Because my senior year, I go up to admissions. Here's my $600. I think it was $650 by then. And the woman says to me, I'll never forget it, "Tommy, don't worry about it. Someone took care of it." So the truth of the matter is, when Tom Freeman contacted me in 2009 and asked me to strongly consider coming to St. Vincent, St. Mary, I took the job thinking I could get in the archives and find out I didn't pay that. So to this day, I don't know who paid my tuition my senior year. And as I say at every speaking engagement I have related to school and people in the community, if you're here today, thank you. So then you get through high school. But we need to talk about high school for a minute. The people I met at St. Vincent, St. Mary. And again, it's not because it was St. Vincent, St. Mary. It was because that's the school I chose. But I played football for John Sistone. And I don't know how many of you in this room know John Sistone. Amazing man. So when I say God put people in your life, and you better appreciate it, God put John Sistone in my life. Because he became another father figure. And I went to him my freshman year and I said, "Coach, Mom tells me I got a bad kidney. I do have both of them, but they said one was bad. If that gets hit, you can't, you know, tough to get by on one. You can, but it's tough." And he said, "Tom, be my equipment manager. I want you part of the team." Well, when you start to realize all the girls in the class are going after Ted and the other football players, I had to find a way to put a uniform on. So I go to Coach Sistone the summer between freshman and sophomore year, and I said, "Coach, can I kick?" And he said, "Well, Tom, I don't know. Can you kick?" I said, "No, you misunderstood the question. Can I be a kicker on the team? I'll learn how to kick. Because when you want something bad enough, you'll learn how to do it." He goes, "Hey, be a kicker. You'll be third or fourth team. Coach, I don't care if I'm ninth team. I just want to put a uniform on so the girls look at me." So I literally, every day after working with my uncles all day, I was at Green Street Stadium, and I was running, and I was lifting, and I was kicking. I got pretty good at it. Why? Because I put the work in. And I prayed every day. Was I the starter? No. But my senior year, one of those moments you never forget. And people always say, "Tom, what's your favorite movie?" My daughter's going to answer that because I think I have every version of it. VHS, CD, whatever. I have it all. But it's Rudy. If you've seen the movie Rudy, not to that extent, but that's how I felt my senior year. As I walked in the locker room, as we prepared to play Garfield, which was a huge game with the rubber ball, and it said starting kicker, Tom Carone. And I remember the first thing I said was, "Thank you, God." The second thing I said is, "Ted, look out, them girls coming my way now." And we lost that game. It was we lost by one. Because unfortunate play at the end. However, the extra point I kicked with my name in the paper Saturday morning, you can imagine the first person at my door to give me heck. It was the guy that played both ways on the line, was an amazing football player, Mr. Ted Walter. But he was mad because his name wasn't in the paper. But again, I thank Coach Sistone, because playing football with those guys was amazing. It was life-changing. We were family. And I'll never forget that. Now, Coach Sistone calls me about every 5 or 6 weeks. And I love to hear from him. And every once in a while, I'll call him and say, "Coach, I'm coming out. Can I have coffee? And we'll just sit and talk." But he calls and he just says the same thing every time. "Carone, anybody giving you any grief?" "No, Coach." "All right, if they are, you call me." Because if John Sistone called you, you listened. So moving forward, again, and you can see that in my mind, and I truly believe to this day, God made all this happen for me. I could have went a lot of different avenues. I had all the excuses. I had no father. I'm a young kid. We had no money. All the excuses. But I had God. And he got me through all of it.
So then we move forward to the famous New Orleans trip that Ted alluded to. And thank goodness we don't do that anymore. But somehow, administration back then thought it was smart to take 18-year-old kids and cut them loose in New Orleans. I had to leave a day early to fly home to be in my cousin's wedding. I almost missed the flight for reasons we won't discuss. And how fitting was it that the chaperone chosen to get me to the airport on time was Father Morin. I'll never forget it. And he says, you know, give me all the words of wisdom on the way to the airport. The flight was delayed. I missed rehearsal. But I made it to rehearsal dinner. Because again, I'm Italian and you don't miss dinner. I walk into the restaurant. It's kind of funny. Back then, let's admit it, you know, the bell-bottom pants and the heels that made me 6 foot tall, and the open shirt with the Italian horn, you know, with the pinky ring. You know, I was a true example of what you don't want for a son-in-law. And I walk in. Well, I never believed in, and I thought it was all a bunch of garbage when people say, Jesus, love at first sight. Well, folks, God sent me an angel. And I remember looking at her going, well, let's see here. She's 15 years old. I'm 17. And I thought, what are the odds that her parents are going to let her go out with me? Well, to my surprise, and I thank them dearly to this day, you can date my daughter every other Friday, and she'll be home by 11, not a minute later. My father-in-law is an amazing man, but there's one thing you always have to remember about my father-in-law. You don't want to make him mad, and I respect him for that. So, fast forward, Darla's our junior year in high school. And now I really thought I lost my mind. I invited her parents to dinner. San Giannini's, a big deal for a 19-year-old kid with no money. I waited for the right time, made sure there was witnesses in the room. I said, I'd like to marry your daughter. And the look I got wasn't the response I was looking for. It was kind of silence. And you know Darla's a junior in high school. I know that. I'm not talking about getting married tomorrow. I'm just talking about making a commitment. Because see, how I live my life is, if you know you want something, you turn to God for guidance, and then you go get it. Believe me, God and I had a long talk as I was driving to that restaurant. Like, God, if he does kill me, I think I deserve a spot in heaven. But, as Ted said, the history speaks for itself. We've been married going on 36 years. And Lord knows, without Darla, I'm not standing here today. Ted and Leo were dear friends of mine, and Dr. Hofacker, or toe hacker, as we call them. You know, Rich is the kind of friend, he walks in today and he goes, oh, Tom Colon's a speaker. I thought it was Tom Cardone. Did I get my money back? And then I look around the room and I realize, Rich is here because half of the room is his patients. But anyhow, I can never express what Darla did for me. And I assure you, as a kid, and this sounds silly, but as a kid, you know, mom and dad taught us you pray every night. hands and knees, bedside prayer. I ended every prayer from my fifth grade on. I'd pray for my wife. I said, Lord, I don't know who she is, but she's out there. Thank God I waited till fifth grade because she wouldn't have been out there. I pray for her every day. Now, anyone in the room that has a perfect marriage, raise your hand. Good, I knew no one would raise your hand because it's the Catholic Lord. Bernie, put your hand down. I talked to Rita. I talked to Rita. Put your hand down.
She didn't raise her hand,
though. What do I mean by that? We all know that you're not married 35 years without having disagreements. And I tried to learn at a young age that your mind doesn't always in sync with your mouth. Because I think of things I want to say, and I know my mind says, don't do it, but my mouth does it anyhow. And you know that split second after you say it, you go, boy, I'm going to pay for that one. I don't think I'm as bad as I used to be. And a few years ago, I met a wise man that, again, God put in my life. I believe that. And I said, at that time, I've been married 32 years. He goes, that's because you know what to do. I said, what do you mean? He goes, see, every man in America, the world, is married. If you live by this model, you'll be married forever. And it's real simple. You can be happy, or you can be right. And I've never forgotten that since that day. And I know it upset Darla because many times she'll know we're about to, you know, and I say, honey, I'm going to be happy. But it's a fact. But see, I don't think that's just in marriage. I think it's in life. See, I'm happy because of my relationship with God. And you know, I'm not one of these guys that's out there, hey, I pray every day and I'm real close to God, because that's not important. I know who I am. And that's what's important. Do you know who you are? I don't need to tell people about my relationship with God. And to the young folks here today, and thank you for being here. You know, if you don't leave here with anything else, remember that. And it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, if you're Lutheran, if you're Protestant, I don't care. Keep God in your life. But not just when you need Him. Keep God in your life every day. So moving forward, God bless Darla and I with two amazing daughters. Amazing. And I don't mean why you're supposed to say that to his daughters. Folks, I can tell you stories for the next 4 hours about these two wonderful young ladies and what they mean to me. Faith, family, friends. So, moving forward, when I took the job at St. Vincent's St. Mary, I remember a dear friend of mine saying, it's a tough community. It's a tough community. Now let me define that. It's a tough community because like all the other private high schools in the area, the community cares. They want the best for the students. And they're not always going to agree with you. And as we were walking away that evening, this dear friend of mine said to me, don't let the job kill you. There's a lot of truth when I say, why did I get married so young? I kid around with people and say it's because it was a 30-minute drive to Darla's house and the gas was killing me. Fact of the matter is, it didn't matter to me how young Darla was. That's who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Now, my father passing away at the age of 44 was in the back of my mind. I felt if I wait till I'm 25, 26, 27, whatever, I'm not at less than 20 years to live with this amazing person. So, we were married. I was 21, I was 18. And all those years, Darla used to tell me, and she was always there to remind me, you work too much, you're stressed out all the time, relax, eat right. I want you here. I'm like everyone else, we're in middle school, right? Nothing happened to us. March 30th. Getting ready to go to church. How ironic is that? It's colder than heck outside. I break into this terrible sweat, going, what the heck's wrong with me? I left the bedroom, went down to the end of the hall, that's a cooler place in our house. Next thing I know, I'm laying on the ground. Both my arms are numb. I can't get up. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, so this is what Dad did. I knew what was happening. I didn't want to believe it. But I couldn't get up. And I said, God, help me. I can't leave now. I have too much to do. I love my family. And so the things that go through your mind, and they say when you think you're going to die, is all true, because it went all through my mind. Picture my lovely wife having to start over with somebody else. That really made me mad. I pictured my daughters walking down an aisle someday, but not with me. And I said, God, please, I believe in miracles. I can't get up. I need your help. Please help me. I literally crawled to where I could get to the wall, walked myself up the wall, used the wall all the way down the hallway to get to Darla. And she took one look at me and said, what is wrong? Now, us men being us men, I said, give me a cloth. I think I have a flu. But again, Darla had been a nurse for many, many years in the cardiology department, ICU step down. She knew what was happening. She hit 911, and I remember looking at the clock as they wheeled me out. And thank God for the doctor at Summa. 25 minutes later, they did what they had to do, and they saved my life. And me being me, after I realized, I think I'm going to make it, the doctor said, have you learned anything from this? I said, absolutely, never make your wife mad before you go to bed. Because she had the option not to call 911. And I promised myself that day, it's time to take care of yourself. Not for me, for them. And for the 700 students of St. Vincent St. Mary. See, I believe I make a difference. Because I love each and every one of those kids, and I tell them all the time. I may not know each and every one of them by name, but I love every one of them. And that's the most special thing about having the job I have, as I'm sure Carl and Todd and Ruth can all appreciate. We don't have these jobs to be rich and famous. But we change lives every day. And if you could hear what students whisper to me at graduation every year, which I ask them to quit doing it because I look like a blubbering idiot up on stage, because you can't believe what they say to me. And I'll leave that clear up. And even after they're out of high school,
Mr. Crone, can I stop by and see you?
Absolutely. The best part of being an administrator at a private school. So I leave you with today three things I want you to remember, please. And statistics show that 10% of you will remember 10% of what I said. So if you remember anything, let this be part of that 10%. There's three rules I live my life by. Number one, be happy. Name a time in your life that you were upset, not happy, bitter, whatever, that was good. And believe me, we all have those days. When I find myself getting to that, I think about something that makes me happy. For me, it's real easy right now. I'm happy to still be here. I'm happy to be part of their life. I'm not so happy about it. I can't eat like I want to eat. And I'm in a gym every other day. But dropping 50 pounds really helps. And the days I don't want to do that, I'm telling you, reminding me of a little boy, and Grandma pulled me by the ear. God pulled me by the hair and says, get in that gym. Because we all have excuses why we might not want to work out. I have to. I have to. And God helped me do that. But please, be happy. Be happy. See, as far as we know, we only get to do this once. And take, you know, be happy and live every day to its fullest. Because, as I understand, you don't know when tomorrow's coming or if it's coming. Second thing. Always, always, always do the best you can at whatever it is you're doing. Why wouldn't you? Take me back to my days. As Ted said, I worked at Morgan Adhesive. A quick story, I was working in the for my uncle, but I was married. It was seasonal work. I said, God, I need a job. And I went on an interview, and I said, do you have anything, like, you know, I'm finishing up college, but can I, you know. I said, I'll clean toilets. I'll do anything. 6 days later, I was cleaning a toilet. I said, Lord, I guess I did say that. But from there, I moved up to company. Nearly 20 years with the company. People say, why did you give that career up? Well, folks, in Las Vegas, Nevada, there's one candidate high school. And unless you have a lot of money, or you know somebody, you're not getting in. I came home and I think we got home. Kids have broke out the pool. Now, you can imagine taking a young lady that's a freshman in her high school and tell her next year you'll be an rapper. Toughest, one of the toughest things I did as a father. And it hurt me because I knew I hurt her. But after a few months, I can remember her saying, Dad, I get it. I get it, Dad. But yeah, I gave up a 20-year career because I believe that much. And so does my wife, Catholic education. And even while we were in Las Vegas, the story I try not to tell, but again, God was definitely with us. You see, I fired an entire shift. And I love people. The worst part of my job, my whole career, is when you have to tell someone I'm no longer employed. But I'm a very fair person, and when you keep crossing the line, I'm sorry, I didn't do my job. Week before Thanksgiving, I know, man, bad guy. I prayed to God, I said, I'm sorry, I have to do this, but I'm doing it. That night, I picked the girls up from daycare, because Darla worked 12-hour shifts as a nurse, but I had a report to get done, took them back to the office. I'm in my office, told them, go on the conference room, draw some pictures, Grandma and Grandpa come out for Thanksgiving. And then my world almost ended. As three of those employees came back, they took 52 shotgun shells out of my office wall. And all I can remember is the glass was flying, Where are my girls? Crawling on my elbows through glass. Went to the conference room. They're not there. People in the plant heard commotion without me knowing it, came up, took Nicole Mender to safety. How did that happen? 52 shots. Thank you, God, for missing me. More importantly, for missing my daughter. These are real life stories. I'm not making it up. God was with us. And then the last thing, folks, take care of others. Show them that you care. If you're upset with anyone right now, for whatever reason, it's the year of mercy. Make up with them. Because one thing I always gets me confused when I go to funerals, and obviously those are terrible things to have to go to. Oh, he was a great guy, or she was an incredible woman. Did you tell them that when they were alive? That's when they're gone, it's too late. And obviously, another thing I'll always remember, and I'll leave you with this. People will always forget what you said. They will never forget how you made them feel. God bless you.
Wow, that was truly incredible, and I left my glasses at the table. Now's the time when I'm supposed to recap, and obviously lots of takeaways.
Show people you care.
And some of my takeaways, I proudly wore the uniform at St. Vincent St. Mary's, but I was on the cross-country and track team. So the whole idea of girls being attracted, that never happened. So and obviously the takeaways is the power of prayer, and then your three, be happy, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. Do your best, and then care for others. I mean, I don't. That's pretty much the Christian philosophy and one that we all should live by. While we do some announcements, please look on your table. There are index cards for you to write questions down. And we would like you to do that, and we'll have people come around and collect those. And a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club will be here at Tangiers on Friday, May 13th. We will welcome Brad Malkowski, Associate Professor from the University of Notre Dame, and he will speak on Muslim-Christian differences and why it matters. If you're listening to the podcast of this on your website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. You can send a check for $15 to the First Friday Club at 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, 44307. You can call our phone number at 330-535-7668. Or you can sign up on a monthly basis and let us know by Tuesday before the Friday talk. And those here physically present on the tables, there's a subscription sheet for the speaker series, and you can consider making filling those out and leaving them with us or mail them back. You can hear a podcast of the previous speaker's presentations by logging onto the website. As well, please consider recommending it to a friend. You can also keep up to date by joining us on Facebook. We're very tech savvy here at First Friday Club. Please take time to fill out one of the orange information cards on your tables so we can add you to our emailing list and keep you apprised of First Friday Club speakers. There's also on your table Catholic Charities of Summit County's Derby for Dollars event will be May 6th at the Hard Rock Casino in Northfield. Father Leo, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, he's the he cooked for us here at First Friday last May. Fascinating presentation. He will be the keynote speaker and will be doing live cooking demonstrations. All proceeds will benefit Catholic Charities based on needs here in Summit County. There is some information on the tables. If you need tickets or more information, please call Catholic Charities and they'll provide that for you. I'd like to recognize any first-time attendees at First Friday. Any first-time attendees, please stand. We'll recognize you. Thank you. Now, I know we have the high school students from Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, Hoban, and Walsh Jesuit. If you could all stand and be recognized. And then are there any grade schools here today? I didn't?
No.
No. Okay. And then any First Friday board members, please stand and be recognized. Now I'll have Mike come up with some questions. Tom, you got it.
I think you kind of answered this, but we can go into it a little further. How did you overcome all of these obstacles and stay so positive after all you have been through? I think you kind of told us about it.
You know, the quick and simple answer is my faith. I mean, I truly believe that. If I didn't have the faith I have, if I wasn't raised the way I was raised, I probably wouldn't overcome it. And certainly, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but folks, I'm a blessed man. Because of my faith, incredible family, incredible friends. That's the quick and really the only answer.
How do you advise young people to prepare for the unexpected, because we all know it will happen sometime?
I think it obviously goes back to, as I stated, pray every day. I don't care if you pray 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, but pray. And not because you need something, but just pray. See, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us all. He loves us all. But if you pray and you have that faith, I'm telling you, He's going to help you when you need it. He's going to give you what you really need. He's not always going to give you what you really want. I've been praying for 56 years that the Browns won a Super Bowl. And I'll continue to pray, but I understand that, you know, God's a very busy person and He's not going to give you everything you need, think you need. See, I don't need the Browns to win the Super Bowl. I want them to win the Super Bowl. Thanks.
How would you advise those who struggle with their prayer life and advise them as how to learn how to pray?
That's the beautiful thing about prayer. There's not a right way or a wrong way, in my opinion. So it's easy to start praying. You can start right now. You know, I'm serious. When I say I pray, sure, I say the traditional Our Fathers and Hail Marys, but I talk to God. I talk to God every day about things that only God and I will know. But I can see what that prayer and what that faith does every day. Because, see, something will happen and you go, wow. It can be as simple as the guy in front of me stops quick and I was able to stop quicker. Now, some people might say, well, that's just because you reacted and your car stopped. I believe it's because of my relationship with God. He didn't want me to have to go home and explain to Darla why I wrecked the car. So please,
Just talk to God like you would talk to anyone else. The real beauty is He always listens. He will hear what you have to say. But you have to be wise enough to understand wants versus needs.
Here's, I guess, a factual, technical question. What does job as president at St. Vincent St. Mary entail? How does that vary from being a principal?
I always tell people when they ask me that, I'm not smart enough to be a principal. I'm not one with an academic background. But I am one that understands business. I understand what it takes to be a successful business. And I'm wise enough to understand who the real assets are at any business. It's not me. It's my staff, our faculty, and our amazing students. That's what makes us a great school. That's what makes the other schools in Akron great schools. So I won't even pretend to tell people that I understand everything that goes on in the classroom. I'm certainly learning, but my job as president, in my opinion, is to take care of these kids and to ensure that they have what they need to be successful. That's the difference, how I see it.
The questioner says, I couldn't help but notice how your family was reacting to your talk. You clearly have a united front. What's the secret? It's one thing for you to be faithful, but a whole family together?
Well, again, I think a lot of that comes from how Darla and I were raised. See, our parents cared about us. And, you know, I know I'm a little old-fashioned in that I drive my daughters nuts. They're 32 and 28, and I still tell them what they should do. But what I truly admire about them is they don't tell me I'm crazy until I'm not in the room. They respect me. I mean, I was flabbergasted today when I walked in here. I knew my wife was coming, God bless her. But my daughters have, you know, real jobs. Matter of fact, Heather just started a new job this week. Yet here they are. And, you know, family is, and I could talk about my mom and dad and all my aunts and uncles and everything everybody meant. Family's family. Family always comes first. My Aunt Judy's here today. God bless her. Today's her birthday. How about that? She's here on her birthday. So, again, it's no real secret formula. I think my kids will attest to the fact that I've never laid a hand on them. Why would I? When I see parents hit their young children, I'm like, wow, those are your children. Why are you hitting them? I believe in time out. I believe in taking things away. So, and again, we keep God in our life. It's important. So if you're kind and you care, truly care, and folks, I truly care. I'd do anything for my family. Thank you.
Just want to thank everyone for coming today and remind next month's presentation is on May 13th. We'll hear from Brad Malkowski, and we will be right here at Tangiers. I'd now like to introduce Heather Caron, who will do the closing prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. As we depart from this space now, we ask you to bless us throughout the remainder of the day and guide us safely home. Do not let the learning and conversations of this gathering die, but instead, may they continue to ruminate within us and bear fruit in our ministries throughout the year. Until we find ourselves together again, we ask this in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.